The Joel Comp Show, episode number 13.
Launch sequence activated.
It's The Joel Comp Show, featuring internet pioneer, New York Times best-selling author, and international speaker, Joel Comp. Helping you grow your business, live life today, and do good stuff. Now here's the man who taught your smartphone how to flatulate, your host, Joel Comp.
What is the core of social media, and just how far back does social media actually go? I would submit to you that social media is not about Facebook or Twitter. In fact, on our bulletin board services and online services before the web, before the internet became mainstream, we were chatting up with people and connecting with them. But you know what? People have been connecting a lot longer than computers have ever existed. In fact, if you'll go back well to the beginning of time, I think you'll find that social media has always been with us, and it's always been about one thing, and so many people miss it. We're going to talk about that and some change that's in the air in this episode of The Joel Comp Show.
What's hot right now? Here's Joel with his latest thoughts and opinions.
And I'm stoked. Freshly back from Las Vegas, Author 101 University. Reconnecting with old friends, making a bunch of new friends, learning from those who are in the publishing world, and just having warm fuzzies all over. It was a fantastic event, and it just reminds me again why I go to events, even when I'm not speaking. You know, I feel like I'm beginning to be a broken record, but I just cannot tell you how much value I derived from this few days at Author 101, and I'm looking forward to attending the next one. And if there's anything I can do to persuade you to get out from wherever it is that you are and go to live events where people are doing the things that you want to be doing, I don't know exactly how much business I'm going to have walked away with from the connections I made at this event, but I guarantee that there's business there, and it was well worth my time. Experimenting with some things of the format for the show and wanting to bring in some people who I believe bring real value to the world around us. And in this episode of The Joel Comp Show, I visit with Lori Ruff, the LinkedIn diva. And it's about social media, and yet it's not, and yet it is. There's a reason that Lori is in the Forbes 50 most influential people. So stick around and we'll visit with her just after this.
Engaged.
And now, here's Joel with today's featured story.
And it's a different kind of feature segment this time. You know, after taking a good look at what I did with my most recent book, So What Do You Do?, I recognized that the book was really not about me at all, and it was never supposed to be about me. It was about taking the authority and positioning that I have in the marketplace and turning the spotlight on other people, because the world is packed with people doing incredible things. And as I read through the stories in the book, I realized that even the show itself, while I enjoy sharing my experiences and let's just call it wisdom for the sake of a better word with you, that there are so many incredible people I know, and I want to bring them to you so that you can learn from their experience and their wisdom and apply it to your life and to your business. And to that end, I'm really pleased to welcome a good friend to today's episode of The Joel Comp Show. Her name is Lori Ruff, and she is the LinkedIn diva. Now, Lori is highly influential. In fact, she is in the top 50 of the most connected individuals on LinkedIn, and that's with something like, I don't know, 200 million or so people. And she's a Forbes top 50 social media power influencer. She talks about LinkedIn. She talks about social media, and she is an in-demand speaker and teacher by executives wanting to establish best practices for using LinkedIn and beyond social media in their business. She's written a book along with her partner, Mike O'Neill, Rock Your World, with LinkedIn, and she is passionate about what she does. If you've never had the opportunity to meet this woman in person, you must, because you have never met a more open, giving, genuinely caring individual than Lori Ruff. And with that, I am pleased to welcome her. Hi, Lori.
Hi. What a nice introduction, Joel. You're sweet.
Well, it's all true. You know, we'll put all the credentials aside, you know, appearing in USA Today and Wall Street Journal and all that cool stuff that, you know, we find very impressive. And what you're left with is an individual who has had her share of successes and her share of significant struggles, and through it all seeks to use that knowledge and those experiences to enrich other people's lives. And that's you.
Thank you. And honestly, I think I came by it honestly. I'll take a moment to honor my dad. You know, I lost dad last year, and I've had the last year to think about and reflect all the things that he taught me, that where the lessons come to life after somebody's gone. You know, I've heard people talk about that before, where, wow, I didn't realize how important somebody was to me until they were gone, or I didn't realize this, or I didn't do that. And, you know, whenever you think about the brevity of life, and it really comes back in full measure to help you understand those things that have no meaning, that you really can't put your finger on. And I think
let's go
that,
there. Yeah, can we go there? You know, I think you are, but I just want to make sure, you know, what maybe a few of the biggest things that you learned from dad that you just are going to carry with you as you every day of your life.
Well, you know, dad had values. And a lot of us do, but we don't necessarily define what they are. And I didn't learn until his memorial service that dad not only had values, but he knew what they were. And my sister had given him a book and said one of the questions in the book that he was supposed to answer, he was talking about your father's legacy, was what are the five most important things in your life? And he said, my faith, faithfulness to my first love, my family, my community, work ethic, you know, those things. And I realized that he really did live those things. I mean, I think I was up for days, nights after that, with just all these, a flood of memories of the way that my dad lived his values. And that spoke to me like as clearly as he was standing there. And those are the things that he tried to instill in us our whole lives. But that your word is all you have. You know, if you lose your reputation, you know, he taught me when I was a kid, I was never good at remembering what I used to say. So I really never was a very good liar. And he kind of pointed that out to me once when I was maybe 7 or 8 years old. He said, Lori, you know, let me just tell it to you this way. If you always tell the truth, you never have to remember what you say. You know, and I thought about that and I thought, wow, Dad, you're right. You know, of course, he pointed out to me that I could never remember what I said first. And so he was trying to make life easy on me. And he said, you know, you might get in trouble, but you get in trouble for the thing you did, not for the cover up. And the cover up's always worse. And people will not trust you. You don't have your word. So if you just always tell the truth as you see it, or tell people what you believe with the knowledge that you have at the time, then nobody can fault you for telling the truth. And in fact, people will respect you, even if they hate the thing that you did that, you know, makes you want to tell a lie anyway. And I found that to be true my whole life. But being in the social media world, I mean, you know, Joel, we live not even under a microscope. We live in a fishbowl. I mean, there's no privacy. You know, people can find out anything they want, and they do. They look. And what really astounds me is that you can't hide it anyway, because people will look at the whole, everything that you've said over the last year, ever since they started following you, and they'll figure out what you're like and who you are and what you're about and what's important to you. I've had people call me and ask me to speak based on my work of transparency, and I thought, I haven't done any work on transparency. You know, I haven't written anything about it. I haven't said anything about it. And she said, no, Lori, you're living it. You know, and those are the kinds of of comments that people make that really start to drive home the fact that you have to be authentic and you have to know who you are and what your values are, or you're just going to look confused. And I think one thing that holds people back is they don't really know what they want. They don't know what they're passionate about. They don't know what their goals are. They haven't figured all that stuff out yet. And until they do, they're just not going to be successful because nobody else is going to know what they're about either.
Mm-hmm. And it comes down to one word. And I'm going to probably be saying this word for the rest of my life, authenticity.
Yeah.
Just keep it real, right? If you just keep it real, I love that. You know, even if people don't like what they hear and they don't agree what your position is, they have to respect you for speaking your mind and being honest.
And they will. And they do. And I'm the girl who, growing up, I always wanted everybody to like me. Well, there are 235 million people on LinkedIn. Some of them don't like me. I had to be okay with that. That was a hard one for me to overcome until I realized one day somebody called me out on something, you know, stupid I said. And it made sense to me at the time when I wrote it. And he writes back. He actually leaves a comment on my update and said, Lori, what are you talking about? This is what you said. This is how this is coming across. And I read it again and I thought, oh, wow. He's right. I can see how it can be taken that way. So sometimes even the things that you say might be taken in a different context to mean a different thing. And so you have to be okay with being criticized in public, being critiqued. You have to know what your values are. And for me, you know, there's got to be other different people out there too. All of my family and all my friends have pretty much the same values. You know, their faith, their family, their friends, their finances, their fitness, you know, all of those kinds of things. And I finally came to realize after I lost my dad and had a real good heart-to-heart with a good couple of friends of mine, and actually you included, we've had some really great conversations, open and honest conversations this year about how we feel about things. And I realized that my values are different. And here I've been trying to live my whole life based on the values that I taught were important. And it's not that they're not. It's just that I'm different, you know.
And we all are.
We have to come. Yes.
You embrace that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being different. In fact, you know, the people who are trying to copy other people's success and saying, well, this person is like this, so I need to behave in this way, and they're doing their product launch like this, and so I need to appear like them in order to, right? That's not what works. It's never what's worked for me. Anytime I've tried to, or, you know, think about duplicating, stepping in somebody else's shoes for what I want to create and produce, it doesn't work. When I'm just myself,
right.
When I just do what comes natural, that's where I've had my greatest successes. And I'm at the point now in my life, you know, approaching 50, that I'm like, screw it. I'm going to do what I do, and some people will like me for it. Some people won't like me for it. Damn the torpedoes, full steam ahead, and I'm just going to live my life.
Well, here's what's interesting, because you and I have lived very different lives, for example, and we've come through a lot. It struck me, remember, I think during the summer, I told you that some of the conversations we were having really mirrored some of the conversations I was having with another friend, and I realized that all three of us were going through some of the same emotions, but for very different reasons. And sometimes the words, like authenticity, ring true to people, but they don't ring true to people for the same reason. Or it may be that you come at it from a different angle. And the cool thing is, when we start talking to each other honestly and openly, and we can find those friends in our lives who we can say anything to them and they won't judge us, they understand who we are at heart, they know who we are at our core, and we all go through these emotions and doubts and whatever else it is that we go through, that's when we really find out that, you know, we are different, yet we're very much the same, yet we're going through very different things, yet we're going through very similar things, and there seems to be all these, you know, all of these things that maybe don't make sense on the outside, but when you peel the onion back and you get down to the core, we all all are human, and we all have frailties, and we all have doubts, and you have to have doubt in order to have faith, because if you don't face your doubt and your fears, how can you possibly display courage and faith and overcome those doubts and fears?
You know what, Anne, I think that's right on, and this word that keeps popping in my head as you're talking, and what we've both experienced, and your other friend, and I'm sure many people listening, is this, transition. We're always in some kind of transition. You know, when so many people think that when they're, let's say in their business, they're developing this stream of income and they feel like, oh, this is, you know, going to keep going like this forever. I can't tell you how many times I have seen that disappear, and you have to, you know, keep moving forward and bringing value and finding something. Yes.
How many times have you reinvented yourself over the last 18 years?
Right, and well, in that process, even now, there's transition, you know, business transition, relational transition, internal transition. There's always transition. And, you know, the thing about mountaintops, as you well know, is you can scale to the highest mountain. You know, let's say you scale Everest. You can't stay up there. You have got to come down, or what happens?
The air is too rare. You can't continue to breathe. You have to come down. And it doesn't matter which way you come down. You can go any direction you want to. You're coming back down.
You will die if you don't come back. That's right. One way or another, you're coming back down unless they bury you up there and you become part of the mountain, you know, for all posterity.
Right.
This is so fascinating because, you know, you are the social media person, as am I. And on one hand, we're not discussing social media, but aren't we?
We are. It is. Social media is, I think people were saying, well, social media is just a fad. And I'm looking at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which are food and shelter. And number three is a sense of belonging. People need that sense of community. And that's exactly what social media provides. Now, when I'm working with clients and I can get them past, you know, that they're working on a computer and looking at a computer screen and looking at, I don't care if it's Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or anything, once I can get them to A, understand their why are they doing this? I don't care if they're getting paid and they're doing it for the paycheck. There's a reason they're doing it for the paycheck. Why do they want to get paid? What's the money all about? Is it so that their family can have a better life, so they can go do the things they love? You know, whatever it is, once they can figure out their why and they realize that they're talking to real people on the other side of that computer screen that have a computer screen that look just like theirs, then it starts to click for people and they start to find success in being online because they realize that people are watching, people are reading. You can't say, no, I didn't say that, because your words are written in stone. And you might not think it's stone, but I mean, I remember a news article where Sarah Palin tweeted this and then she deleted it and tweeted this instead. And I'm like, you know, I mean, come on. You can't delete a tweet. You can't go in and, you know, if you go into G+ and you change a comment, it says it's edited. Or maybe it's
right.
Facebook that it says that now, that it says the comment was edited. It even tells people that you had a typo and you fixed it. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. People are there and they're seeing. And they may not like it or comment on it, but that doesn't mean they didn't see it.
Didn't like or comment. I feel like somewhere on my forehead it should say edited, you know, because I reworking and rethinking, and we are this. We are editing a process, but you're right. When it's out there, it's out there. And if you say something brilliant, we like to, you know, focus on those moments of brilliance in business and thought. But if you screw up, several years ago I did a product launch and I made a mistake in doing it and offended a number of people. And rather than try to bury it or make excuses, I posted a photo of me hitting my head with my hand, you know, kind of like I should have had a VA with this stupid look on my face. And the headline was, I screwed up. And, you know, I just came out and said, I screwed up. Here's what happened. Here's why it happened. I didn't intend to do this. I'm sorry. You know, I'm going to make it right. Just say I screwed up. And there's nothing
wrong with that.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. Oh, no, you're human. Oh, wow, how did that happen? Wow, go figure.
I don't know. Yeah, I think sometimes people put us on pedestals and you know, that really goes to taking yourself too seriously. I think part of my success is that I've had people, and I still, it blows my mind that people think I won't talk to them because I'm some, you know, Forbes top 50 person and there's only 50 of us in the world. Well, A, that's not true. And sometimes I'll respond to people. They'll share my post and I'll favorite it. And somebody said, wow, you favorited my post, my tweet of your post. I said, you shared my post and I favorited it. So thank you. And then I start talking to them and they're like, oh my God, Lori talked to me. And I'm like, really? I mean, come on, we both put our pants on the same way. I don't care how much money somebody's made or how successful the entrepreneurs are that I've worked with. When I sit down and spend time with them, we drink the same beer. You know, maybe they drink wine and I drink cider. It doesn't matter. We're all the same and we've all got the same hopes and fears. We've all want something better for our kids. We all want success in our lives. We all want the same thing. So why not treat each other like we all want to be treated?
My guest today is Lori Ruff, R-U-F-F. Lori, you're amazing. I love your heart for people. I love that you totally get social media. You are social media incarnate in the flesh, and people will know that when they meet you and they get a big hug from you because you are a hugger and you're a giver. And I know you do. How do people find out more about you?
Oh, LoriRuff.com will take them pretty much wherever I want them to go. Right now it goes to my LinkedIn profile, I think.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait to see you again. I know you'll be stopping through Denver, or maybe we'll bump heads in Vegas for an event. But
yes,
I will.
Denver holiday party is coming up, and you have to be there.
Well, you need to tell me when it is. In fact, go ahead. What's the date? Tell everybody.
DenverHolidayParty.com, December 3rd. It's the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. This year we're doing something new, Thought Leader Tables. And, Joel, you've got one with your name on it.
Oh, fantastic. In that case, I'll be there. Thanks again, Lori. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Joel.
Mission complete.
I hope you like this change in format. I'm interested in speaking with people of influence, those that are having an impact on the world around them in a significant way, because they are the ones that affect the course of history. And so look for more really unique people that I'll be bringing to the Joel Comm in the future. Of course, I'd love to hear your feedback. Go to joelcomm.com, leave me comments or perhaps a review in the iTunes store for the podcast. Would love it if you left me a review there. And always happy to hear from you. If you go to my blog, you'll find my contact form and you can contact me there with questions, feedback, joint venture proposals, and anything else. Basically, all of the comments there go directly to me. I read every single one of them, and it matters to me because you matter to me. If you're looking to get out and about, join me at JV Alert Live in a special one-day intensive where I will be just with a small group of people working one-on-one with you in your business. Go to onedaywithjoel.com and you can find out how to register for that event, which takes place on November 7th, and attend JV Alert Live the following 3 days, November 8th through 10th in Las Vegas. I'm going to be there and Lori Ruff is going to be there as well. I look forward to seeing you there. And as usual, I look forward to seeing you next week on this podcast. Until then, do good stuff.
Thanks for joining us for the Joel Comm Show. We hope you've learned something new and that you are inspired to grow personally and professionally. We encourage you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and to share it with others. For more from Joel Comm, visit www.joelcomm.com. This podcast is copyright Joel Comm, Inc., all rights reserved worldwide.